Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back again to listeners. You are tuned to Radio Islam on Video 1548. It's now just past quarter to 10, inshallah. And we'll now cross over for the last program of the question and answer with Mufti Ilyas Saab. That is the last program for the month of Ramadan. We're crossing over to Mufti Saab, inshallah. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alright, Mr. Jazakumullah for the time, inshallah. And again, we announce that today is the last question and answer program with Mufti Ilyas Saab for the month of Ramadan. Alright, any questions you have, any queries and doubts you have, call us. And the number to call is 011-854-1548. And the cell phone number to send your questions is 082-580-8070. It's 082-580-8070. And the number to call is 011-854-1548. So the question states, first one, Amanda, it passes over on the 25th night of Ramadan. He was not pious. What azab is he exempt from by death on this night, and what azab must he still face?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. It comes in the Bayhaqi, and you can find the whole hadith. We have written a book called Life in the Grave, and it is part of a book by Mufti Ashikilai Bulanchari Rahmatullah Ali. It's called Life After Death. And there he brings a hadith to show that those who pass away on in the month of Ramadan will be free from the punishment of the grave. So this is a great boon and favor, irrespective of whether the person was pious, righteous, or was not pious and righteous. Everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, we should not have a holier-than-thou attitude.
Mm-hmm.
That after doing certain amount of good, we get a attitude policy and start thinking that, oh, because we are doing so much of work, automatically we are going into Jannah. This should not be our attitude. We should do as much as humanly allowed and make dua that Allah Jalla Majdahu accepts.
Ameen, inshallah. Jazakallah for that response, Mufti Saab. We go on further and we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Ji.
I just like to know, can a Hafiz accept a gift for performing Taraweeh?
Can a Hafiz accept gifts for performing Taraweeh Salah? Alright, sister. Any other question? Alright, Jazakumullah. Mufti Saab will respond. Ji, Mufti Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Accepting gifts for the Hafiz, Mufti Saab.
Concerning this masala, I have written in detail in one book called Taraweeh in Detail. And in this, we have discussed about Kuffaz getting gifts. And Mufti Abdul Rahim Lajpuri, Rahmatullah Alayhi, has discussed this in Fatawa Rahimiyah. The whole issue rotates around, is this a custom or ritual or is it a payment? And if it is a payment, it is absolutely haram to accept it. If it is a custom, we should stay far from it. If it is a ritual, we should try to abandon it. If it is a good gesture, and the Hafiz is neither waiting for it, nor expecting it. But the people give him a gift, but they should give him such a gift that he will benefit by it. No use giving him a gift that will not be appreciated by the Hafiz per se. Meaning now, if you have to give him something not in his line, so you give him something that he can also cherish, value, and also be encouraged, for example, to further his studies, to listen to more Quran. You give him, for example, Quran, you give him CD, Quran CDs, or you give him some textbooks, or you give him kitabs on to read, mutashabiyat kitabs, those things to help him further his studies.
Alright, Jazakallah for that answer, Mufti Saab. We're going further. Number to call is 011-854-1548. The question states, I just wanted to know, is the name Zuhaira for a girl a nice name, and does it have a nice meaning? Mufti Saab? Zuhaira.
Zuhaira.
Ji.
However, I am not an expert on these odd names. Sheikh Jaj is the one to be consulted in the program where he comes on to discuss names, and then he can give the meaning of it. Surfacely, it does not look that you cannot keep such a name.
All right. The question states, what is my position regarding Hajj? I have the money, but my wife is sick. I have 3 teenage daughters. No reliable person to look after them. Will I be sinning? Allah make it easy. Would you have your response?
If you have been accredited to go for Hajj, then make every possible means to go for Hajj, and inshallah you'll go there and make dua. Your wife inshallah will recover, because you'll be in a better position with a lot of concern. You'll be making dua and ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. Inshallah your wife will recover. If Hajj is farz on you and you have not been accredited, then care for your wife. And if you have to now spend on your wife, then spend on your wife's health.
Alright, inshallah. The next question states, coming through SMS, a woman has 7 qaza rozas of Ramadan and wants to keep the 6 shawal rozas. Must she first keep her qaza rozas?
She should keep her qaza rozas first, because that is accountable in nature. If she passes away, then she'll be accountable for those qazas. And if she passes away not keeping the shawal, then she will not be accountable, because those are nawafil. So she will be accountable for the qaza, and she will not be accountable for the nawafil. Therefore, keep the qazas first, and the month is 30, so you should be able to keep your qaza and also space out your shawal nawafil.
All right. We go on further. The next question states, Mufti Saab, what happens to animal souls once they die?
There is a retribution for them also, as in the light of the hadith, that the animal kingdom will also be brought front of each other, and the injury or harm that they cause to each other, they will be allowed to take retribution, a blow for a blow, a hit for a hit. And after that retribution has been done, then they will be destroyed also. So, from that hadith we make out that their souls are also kept for to be instilled into their bodies, so that the process of retribution and via accountability can take place.
All right. Jazakumullah. We go on further. The next question states, Mufti Saab, it says with regards to marriage. In Islam, are you allowed to get married to an older woman? Example, the brother says or sister says, she is 40 and you are 31. Reason being, good reason he gives Mufti Saab, she is Islamically inclined and educated.
It is permissible to do so. It is good if you are looking at the quality, because that's the quality you look for.
Ji. The question states, we are told that shaitan are chained in Ramadan. What I'd like to know is, during my i'tikaf, my children and I were affected by shayateen and jinn. What can I do when under this choking feeling? Please explain.
The hadith is talking of the shayateen being chained up. It's talking about the rebellious shayateen. That means the major mischief maker shayateen, and not talking about all the shayateen. And the quality of the shayateen is to cause trouble. And here you can easily make out that the smaller shayateen are now troubling your family. We say clearly that recite the manzil, and blow on water, let some saliva go into the water, drink, give your family to drink, that inshallah, within 40 days, all these effects of jinnat, asarat, shayateen will go away, inshallah.
Inshallah, yes, Mufti Saab, with no doubt, the best cure, manzil in the sof, in the four pools, Allah give us hidayat. The question states, if one wishes to fast the shawal rozas, can it be kept, it can be kept throughout shawal, but does the day immediately after Eid have to be kept or not?
No, you should not regard it as necessary that it should be kept immediately after Eid. There are some who say that no, we must keep it after Eid, the first of the Shawwal rozas, and then keep 6 rozas, and the 7th they declare as second Eid. And they have this concept, second Eid. One Eid after fasting of Ramadan, and second is after fasting the sixth fast of Shawwal. There is no basis. This is absolutely a wrong notion that has come through. You can, after few days of Eid, you can keep one Shawwal fast, and then after another few days, keep another. The Shawwal fast need not be kept one after the other. There can be adequate spacing in between these fasts.
All right. So, JazakAllah for that. We take our last caller before the news, and we continue after the 10 o'clock news. We have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. How are you, my brother?
Alhamdulillah. How are you, my brother?
Alhamdulillah. I'd just like to ask one question.
Gee.
I want to take my business. During the time I was closing, there was a person who came to me and said, look, I need two steak rolls. I want to just clear it out. I told him, look, I was closed. And he started, he was very disappointed. I told him, look, I don't have any more rolls, so you have to go get the rolls that I can make, prepare the steaks for you. I told him he should go buy the rolls. In the meantime, he went with his money.
Gee.
He came back, he brought the rolls, I prepared the steaks for him.
Right.
I told him, right, here's the stuff. He told me, what was the, I asked him, how much you paid for the rolls. He told me, $4.50. And then I said, okay, your order is $29.50, and you have to give me a difference of whatever, $24 and whatever. He then he produced a fake note to me, a 100 note. I told him, this is fake. And whoever sent you with this note, you better bring the proper note, and then I will give you the order.
Yeah.
He went away, and he didn't come back. And now he left his rolls and his money there. But in the meantime, I was the impression he's going to come back with the balance of the money. But I used his money to sell the other four rolls, which obviously I knew he's not going to buy. I was going to credit him for the total amount of the rolls. He didn't come back, so my intention was clear. I was going to give him the money back if he had to come back for the rolls or whatever he already paid for.
Okay.
You got a message.
You got your message. JazakAllah.
JazakAllah.
All right, Maulana Mufti Sahab will respond. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jee Mufti Sahab, what happens here to the steak rolls?
Yeah, because technically now it belongs to the customer who brought it.
Gee.
But unfortunately, he also now wanted to pay for this whole transaction.
Gee.
With a fake note.
Gee.
Now the brother sold the rolls.
Mm.
Very simple now. He owes that person who came in as the last customer, he owes that person $4.50 or $5. He must keep it aside. And when that brother comes back, he must give him his $5. Because that now he cannot wait with that rolls of that brother. He told that brother, go back, bring your money, and I will give you your rolls with the steak inside and charge you the price.
Right.
So that brother has now disappeared.
Gee.
So for all good purposes or bad purposes, we don't know. But the shopkeeper owes that brother $5 or $4.50, the price of the rolls.
Right.
Keep it aside, wait for him. When he comes, give it to him.
If he doesn't come, what happens?
If he doesn't come, then sadly, the whole transaction looks very dubious. Was he trying to con this brother by investing in so-called 450 roll and getting a 30 red rolls and giving a 100 red fake note?
Gee.
Was he trying to do that? So if he comes, give him his 5 RAM. If he does not come within a month, then give it out in charity on that brother's name.
All right. JazakAllah. We have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam, Murana, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, how are you, my brother?
Alhamdulillah, shukr. Can I ask Murana a question, please?
Ji.
Assalamu alaikum, Murana, how are you?
Wa alaikum salam.
Murana, this question concerns my wife, right? My wife had a menses in Ramadan for 3 days, which like is a normal habit. So she fasted on the fourth day when she came clean. After fasting for 2 days, she started spotting on the third day. Was this haze or istihaza? And is the 3 rozas she kept accepted? She doesn't normally have a problem with spotting after a haze. I listen on the radio.
All right. Mufti Sahib, I've got a question.
Yes, yes.
JazakAllah, brother Mufti Sahib, respond. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu
alaikum. Her normal habit is 3. After that, she kept fast. That is valid. After that, is spotting. That's istihaza. I hope she fasted during that time. That's considered as istihaza. Because she is one having a normal, regular habit.
All right. Jazakumullah, 12 minutes past 10 o'clock. Number to call is 854-1548. The dialing code being 011. And the SMS number is 082-580-8070. Any question in mind, any doubts, call us on this number. So we have another caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum, brother. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, and yourself?
Ramadan Mubarak for the last few days.
Gee, Allah accept.
Mulana, tell me regarding the toothpaste problem, there's a lot of controversy about it still, where you brush your teeth in Ramadan. I don't know how it affects
fasting.
Your fasting. I'll listen on here.
All right, Jazakumullah. Mufti Sahab, Jawab.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
What's this?
The masala of using toothpaste while fasting.
Well, this keeps coming. It keeps coming so much that I know the reference of my heart now. Then in Fatawa Darulum, Volume 6, page 403, that it is written that it is permissible to use toothpaste provided it does not go down the throat.
All right.
Taste does not break the fast.
All right. We have another caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. All right. Stopped. Question stating, I read 3 rakats Talawi by mistake. Must I make qaza?
Yes.
All right. Can a person give zakat to his father-in-law if his liability exceeds his assets? In this, can this be used to settle his debt?
Yes, you can give your father-in-law, provided he is a recipient. And in this case, as you are stating, that looks like he is deserving and worthy of zakat.
All right. If we hear a sajda live on radio, Mufti Sahab, do you have to make a sajda?
No, you do not have to.
All right. 66-year man dies, Allah forgive him, no zakat or salah until last month of life. How do his heirs calculate the amount to pay for zakat, not knowing the finances over the years, only total amount at death?
First of all, that from his entire assets, that amount which you are going to take out for his kafara, for fasting and salat, you're only entitled to use one-third of it.
Mm.
So in that one-third, whatever you can utilize and make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all.
Allah forgive all. Ameen. All right, Jazakallah. We've gone further. We have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah. How are you?
Okay. Alhamdulillah.
Mashallah.
Well, I have one question only.
Sure.
The question is the permissibility of greeting a Muslim on the day of Eid or on any other day. Which is the masnoon way of doing it? Is it a handshake? Is it sufficient? Or does one embrace, or once, thrice, or kiss the cheeks? What is the permissibility, or is the correct way of doing that? Could Mufti Sahab please advise
us? It's a very, very important question, my brother. Nowadays, they don't greet, they squeeze you.
Even when going for Umrah or Hajj, then everybody wants to embrace and greet one another. But what would be the simplest and the correct way? How was it done the sunnat way?
Jazakumullah, very important question.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Chi Mufti Sahab.
The brother says one question. He asks 5 questions. Because if you break down what he says, first of all, he asks now how to greet. Then he says about greeting, then shaking hands, then embracing, then greeting, shaking hand, Umrah, Hajj time, then greeting, shaking hand during Eid time. Oh, a lot of questions these are. So, Alhamdulillah. Can I start?
Jee, Muslim, please do.
First of all, a simple method of greeting is our standard method of Assalamu Alaikum. That is, you are to greet without shaking hands. If you are going to shake hands, then the adab of shaking hands and the real results is that when you greet, you will shake hands and make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you and the person whom you are shaking hands. The dua that Ighfir li wa lakum. You should say that dua verbally, that Allah forgive me and you. Then you ask the person, how are you? And he should be saying under all conditions, I am well, Alhamdulillah. Then sins are forgiven. We are, Mufti Allama Sayyid Palampuri, Daud Barakatum, has spoken at length on this. We are trying to source one article which came down in a magazine called Zamzam in India at least.
All right.
And we'll translate that for the benefit of the public, that the adab and the method, sunnat method of shaking hands, just by shaking hands without reciting the dua will give us some benefit, not total benefit.
Right.
Then embracing is supposed to be done once. And also,
that on the right side, the neck supposed to meet the neck. Three times not necessary. Embracing after you have not seen a person for a duration of a time, length of time, then you may embrace. Not meeting of stomach or not meeting of chest.
Gee.
Then the shaking hand after Eid Salah is not proven. Well, you should try to abstain from specifying of shaking hand after Eid Salat or embracing after Eid Salat.
All right. So, you know, today's times we hug one another, we kiss one another. The next day, the person who hugged you and kissed you, the same person swearing you. You know, Ajib times we're living in, Allah, we have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and maintain relations, inshallah, throughout the course of the year. We have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Hello.
Ji, brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
assalam wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. I'd like to ask Mufti Saab, I've got the Quran Sharif on in a palm top, you know, the palm top computer.
Ji.
When we read that, do we have to have wuzu before we read it?
All right. Mufti Saab, I'll respond, my good brother.
Jazakallah. Wonderful.
All right, please do. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ji, Mufti
you
Saab.
You may read that without state of wuzu.
All right. Water paint, is it allowed on the face?
Water?
Paint.
Why do they want to paint that? perhaps now is a craze these days. Mine goes towards that when you go to certain malls, etc., then you see that there is a gathering to find out what is happening, you know, the painting the children. And all this is part of funfair, etc. Now, that if that paint comes onto a Nabalik child, then it is permissible all, as long as that drawing is not of animate objects. And also, once they wash it out, no problem.
All right. Can two intentions be made for Roza, that is Qaza and Nafal together?
This will generally refer to the Qaza and the Shawal. You cannot combine the Qaza and the Shawal as one. You cannot say, I'm making Qaza for the Roza I missed in Ramadan plus the Shawal fast. That would not be valid.
Right, Jazakumullah. We have a question, a caller. Ji, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ji?
What I'd like to know is, can zakat be given to your domestic? That's the first question. And the second one is, when you read your Umrah Qaza during Fijr and Asr, when you read your Fijr and Asr Salah, can immediately after that, can you read Umrah Qaza?
Okay. All right. JazakAllah, sister.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullah. Team with this up, do sawal.
The Fajr, one, Asr, two, domestic, three.
Oh, gee.
Domestic, if she is Muslim, yes, it's permissible to give zakat without any strings attached, without any ulterior motives. The Asr Qaza can be made after Asr Salah because female asking, therefore it is done not in public at all permissible. Fajr Qaza, yes, can be done provided it is still time for performance of Fajr and the sun has not risen.
Alright, Chi, do we have a caller? Alright, no. This other question states, alright, marriage question. Right. A very good boy wants to marry me, but my parents are refusing for me to marry him because he is a Urdu boy and because he is poor. What must I do? Please help.
I can answer.
Gee, please, Musa.
First of all, how you came to know him, how he came to know you. Firstly, that question. Forget all this, want to marry and all that. First question, that how this relationship was made up. When this scene took place, is there courting taking place? Is there haram activities taking place? So, first, all that has to be sorted out. And if everything was so-called legal, and I can't understand how it will become legal, then you will have to go to your elders. That means you have the brothers of your fathers or sisters of your father. They must bring in the case for you. And they can intervene for you and bring the case forward so that you can marry that boy.
All right. Next question states, we have two kids, boy and girl, aged 15 and 12. They are sharing a room. We're not able to buy a bigger home. Sleep in separate beds. Is this permissible?
as long as they're sleeping in separate beds, they must be taught the laws of haya, modesty. Meaning, very simply, that whenever they are changing, they should not be changing in that room. They should be changing in the bathrooms, etc., and then coming into their rooms. And the best course of action will be to take that youngster and put him in the lounge. Even if he has to sleep on the floor of the lounge, that's the best course of action.
All right, Jazakumullah. Next question states, my wife is Shafi'i, married in Hanafi. Is she liable for the Shafi'i or the Hanafi fitra amount? And what is the amount? And what about the kid's pain?
If she is still following the Shafi mazhab, she is liable for the Shafi fitra. The kids, they should have by now decided what are they going to be following, the Hanafi mazhab or the Shafi mazhab. Generally, they will follow the father who is Hanafi, therefore they will pay the Hanafi fitra amount.
All right. Is it permissible just to trim the hair of a woman, Mufti Sahab?
They're still trying to get this masala out of us. It is not permissible.
Not permissible, gee. All right. It came many times, it's not permissible. I'd like to know, the question states, if a person in i'tikaf can apply oil to the hair.
Yes. The person in i'tikaf can apply oil to the hair, and even it is recorded in our book called Kitab al-Sawm. You can see our website, alislam.co.za, that a person can hair nails also, and also can have a haircut, provided that it does not fall on the surface of the masjid.
All right, Jazakumullah. We go on for the inshallah, just a few minutes left. The number to call is 011-854-1548, and the cell phone number to send questions is 082-580-8070. The question states, the Muslim Malaysian brother that went to space, how will he fast and perform salah?
If you ask him,
that
obviously now, first of all, why he went in Ramzan time? Secondly, that he must have already consulted his ulama about the fasting status. If he was going from the South African area, then he should have asked us, we should have told him what to do. Generally, now he's going to lose time. He's going to lose the time of earth. Once he loses time of earth, then he's not going to be accountable, or not going to be mukallaf, at least. Accountable is not the right... mukallaf in which way? That he is now not one upon whom fasting the day and night is prevalent. When he comes back, the lost days of the earth time, he will make qaza of.
All right. And we start just on the lighter side. I don't think he's enjoying the samosas and the chutneys like how we're enjoying it. All right, question states, what can I really do if my husband is disobedient to the injunctions of Islam and is making our lives difficult because of this? Shambok.
First of all, that if you must remain extremely steadfast on Islam.
It's true, gee.
Without creating the extremist feeling.
Gee.
Meaning, make regular salat, Quran tilawat, create an extremely friendly atmosphere at home. Do not, at times what happens,
gee,
that the family members become very pious and holy to such an extent that the husband who's trying to reform, he says, no, I am not interested now. So first of all, try this method. Become extremely helpful, cooperative, loving, care, affectionate, be steadfast on salat, make a lot of his khidmat and dua. That's first course of action.
Gee.
Secondly, that if he now does not change, you are entitled, all those wonderful people who signed your nikah certificate, then call them. Tell them, see, I'm having now difficulty in the marriage because this man is now, let alone not performing on Sharia, he does not want us to perform on Sharia. Once he does not want you to act on Sharia, you have got the right to complain.
All right. Allah give us all hidayat. Next question, Sayyid Multisab. All right, we take our two callers first. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Jesus.
I'd like to ask your niyat for theory. After theory, do you have to make immediately your niyat? Because some people say before 12 you must make your niyat. And the second question is it permissible for a woman to drive? Jazakallah.
Drive the husband crazy or drive a car? All right. So, two questions here. All right, let's take our next caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ji.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, my brother. Question?
Ji, just one question. Sure. SMS competitions, if we had to pay for the SMS,
yeah,
not permissible as far as I understand it. And so, what is the difference when you have to phone in for a competition and you are charged for the call by Telkom or your service provider?
Okay.
Is that permissible or not?
All right. What is that? Ji, three questions.
Can I answer?
Ji, please do.
First, the brother's questions, because I never hear the female caller properly, you will have to repeat for me. The brother's questions, that both are haram. Whether it's SMS charged or whether Telkom charged, extra charged. Ji.
All right. Next question stating that niyat for sihri, does one make it immediately after sihri? She heard that it's okay if it's just before 12 o'clock.
It will be okay just before midday.
Mm.
So you have to calculate the day hours and then divide it into two and the midday. Before midday, if you make your intention, it is permissible. If you get up for sihri, that's sufficient. Getting up for sihri is sufficient intention. If you went for Taraweeh or made Taraweeh, that's sufficient intention that you are going to fast the next day. Then the other question, whether driving is permissible.
G.
Oh?
Driving for females, G.
As far as driving for females is concerned, that I've been informed that there is another new website that has come out where they are now putting the fatwas of the Saudi ulama. And one of the rulings given by them was that it is not permissible for women to drive. That is an extremely cautious view. In fact, that is the best view, that they should not be allowed to drive. However, that we are saying, if they are going to drive within the Shari Safar Musafir perimeter, then there is room for permissibility, provided that there is no danger of them being misled and there is no fitna involved.
All right.
Coming out of the house for females is generally regarded as trial and tribulation. Nowadays, unfortunately, you'll find that a lot of fitna is taking place via the cell phone, via the female driving. So if there is a mihram with them, that is best. Now, if they are making small chores, going to drop the children, picking up the children, within the boundaries of a Shari Safar and Shari legal safety, then there is some room for permissibility.
All right, Jazakumullah. Last few SMSs, Mr. Sab, one saying, do I have to make parda from my father's stepbrother, who is also mentally slow?
Yes.
All right, we take our last two callers for tonight's program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Maulana, I'd like to ask a question to Mufti Sahab, please.
Jee, sure.
Okay. If I don't know Dua Kunut, can I read Rabbana Atana, Rabbana La Tuzik Kulubana, Rabbana Zalamna? Can this thing be read if I don't know Dua Kunut?
All right, brother. Jazakallah. Mufti Sahab will respond. Any other question you have?
That's all, brother. Assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Mufti Sahab. Next caller, Jee. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'd like to ask Mufti Sahab. Mufti mentioned that it's not permissible to take part in competitions where you reply by SMS or even by telephoning.
Mm.
So is there any type of competitions which are permissible?
All right, Mufti Sahab, response.
Jazakumullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Okay, let's go from the sister's call.
All right.
That, for example, you're having a phone in, normal telecom rate permissible. Then to phone in and enter that competition, that is permissible.
All right.
The brother, Dua Kunut, then he recited a lot of other duas. So if he knows all those duas, he could easily, inshallah, make effort to learn the Dua Kunut. If a person does not know Dua Kunut, then dua like Rabbana Atina, that is permissible. If he does not know, he can read any other dua. If he does not know, he can read Ighfirli, Warhamni, that's also permissible.
Right. So the last question for tonight's program, it says my father passed away and we were told by someone that if we go to another person's funeral, we can send a message and salams to our father via the person that has passed away. Is this true?
Now, we should not believe in such a thing. because this will definitely corrupt belief.
Gee.
And this will now, imagine if this was true.
Gee.
Then you'll have a list of 40 people standing to address the person who is now lying ready for burial.
Gee.
And each one will have 10 pages readout there. That when you're going there, tell my father this, and tell my mother this, and tell my brother this, and tell him this is happening in the business, and read the balance sheet out, and this is now. This will definitely create havoc. So we should not hold this belief.
Right.
And we should, that person who stated such a thing is definitely misleading people.
Definitely, gee.
This is going to corrupt your basic, simple beliefs, and is going to become ludicrous to believe in such pernicious teachings and beliefs. So we should abstain, remain very far from such erroneous, fallacious beliefs.
All right. So last, final question for tonight's program. When Eid Moon is cited, it has become a practice in many masjids that all the lights in the masjid and the courtyard are switched on. Is this correct? And doesn't this resemble non-Muslim customs?
Oh, yes. Now, certain places I went for Tarawih.
Gee.
That Isha Salat, all the lights are on. Then Tarawih, they put all the lights off. I wonder what's happening here, whether they want to step the imam. I don't know why they do this. Come Tarawih, come Witr, they put all the lights on again.
Gee.
I don't know. Some places you go, Fajr time, when the Fajr Salat starts, Fajr, for us, they put all the lights off. And they regard this as part of the masjid procedure. And they say, no, we have to do this. I do not know where we are getting all this.
Gee.
Light on, light off. And they quarrel and fight over these things. Now, to put all the lights off on the masjid when the moon is sighted, this is definitely going to start resembling the festive occasions of the enemies of Islam, and we should definitely abstain from this, refrain from this. No basis there is for this action in Islam.
All right. Jazakallah so much for the wonderful program. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, again, as we always say, reward you in abundance. Inshallah, we have learned a great deal in the month of Ramadan. And really, it was a great sacrifice in the Qurbani from your side. You know, sometimes Mufti Sahab is in Rainsworth, sometimes maybe on Monday. And may I ask you in Durban tonight, Mufti Sahab?
Yes.
Mufti Sahab is in Durban again tonight, sacrificing his valuable time. Mufti Sahab, from our hearts and on behalf of everybody of Faith Islam and our listeners as well, we say Jazakumullah wa hasan al jaza. And we really learned a great deal. Your rewards are with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. May Allah give us strength, health, and a long life, inshallah, and a life full of prosperity. Mufti Sahab, any final remarks? We might not talk only after Ramadan, inshallah. Any final nasihat and advices before we terminate?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. First of all, that I highly appreciate Maulana Kara's coordination in the month of Ramadan, and also the engineers' efforts in bringing the programs together. And also, we have to really be appreciative to the listeners and those who send in their questions. Without them, there is no actual program. For me and from my side, that every Ramadan, every time we have a question and answer program, I learn a lot. You may wonder how I learn a lot, because I keep on revising my work, and it keeps me on the alert button all the time to keep reading, writing, revising. And I really appreciate all the efforts put in by all the members of the staff to put this program together. And we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I especially, because in this month of Ramadan, we were able to do Q&A program for Radio Islam Monday night, Wednesday night, Friday night, and on Sunday.
Gee.
After Zohar, and for Radio Al-Ansar, which is a Durban-based radio which comes on a few times a year.
Gee.
That we did Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. So practically every day we had some Q&A program going on. And to all of the listeners, we humbly make a request that you make dua for all of us, and including our families, because remember that they are the ones who allow us the time to come on air to help you, so that we can have a better, more comfortable, easy Ramadan. Also, that in this month of Ramadan, we should hope Allah Ta'ala accepts our efforts. We should not develop a attitude or a holier-than-thou policy, or be judgmental on other people, or look down on other people. we should always try to do whatever we can, humanly possible, and then hope that Allah Jalla Majdahu will accept. And also realize that we, in the month of Ramadan, there is no official night vigil. There is no official night vigil that we have to engage in congregational form. Whether it be at home or in the masjid, we should do individual ibadat a lot in abundance, again, to the human ability. And then make dua that Allah Ta'ala makes it easy for all those who have applied for Hajj.
Ameen.
As we know, we're going to have our Jamiat seminar on the 27th, in starting from 2 o'clock in the hall adjacent to Masjid al-Salihin in Ladisha. And we humbly request you also come there. And also do not forget each other and all the Muslims of the world in your dua. Do not be selfish. Make dua keeping the whole horizon of the entire world in focus.
Jazakallah. Jazakallah again, a request for du'as. We talk soon, inshallah.
Jazakallah.
Jazakallah. Mufti Saab fi Amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.